At first glance, our reading for this evening just seems like a lot of cruelty. Vicious men acting in very cruel ways towards Jesus. After all, they made him bear his own cross. And when they got him to where they were going, they nailed him to that cross. One of the worst ways to die that men have ever invented. And the soldiers treated his clothing as if it was some kind of prize. They were even vicious towards one another. In all of these things, it may seem like what we have here is a case of saying, poor, poor Jesus. But John did not write these things, Christians, so that we would say, poor Jesus. John wrote these things to show us that they are all in fulfillment of the Scriptures. Nothing that we hear in this reading is an accident. Nothing just happened just because. All of this happened so that we would be forgiven. All of this happened according to the mighty will of God. So we are told, first of all, that Jesus went out of the city, and he was headed towards a place called Golgotha. And the place that, and Golgotha was outside the city walls in those days. If you were to go there today, you would find Golgotha in the middle of Jerusalem, because Jerusalem is much bigger than it was in those days. And we also call this place Calvary. We call it Calvary because in Latin, the word for skull is Calvary. So it's the same place whether we're talking about one or the other. But either way, Christians, Jesus goes out to Golgotha bearing his own cross. And this was not the whole cross, the way that you sometimes see in pictures, but rather just the cross beam. But even that was very, very heavy. Even that was a very difficult thing to carry. We can imagine what it would be like to carry a fence post for several miles on our shoulders. And in case we think that that wouldn't be that difficult, we have to remember that Jesus has been beaten nearly to death at this point. It's a wonder that he has any strength left at all. But the point of making him bear that cross on the way out to Golgotha was to continue his punishment, to make the prisoner be punished even on the way to where he was to be put to death. And so that's what we see happening to Jesus in this reading. And outside of the city walls, at Golgotha, they crucified him, nailing him to that cross, which was the worst possible way to die. John doesn't say a lot about it, and I'm not going to either. But it's enough to say that the cross was designed to make death come as slowly as possible. So you can imagine our Lord then, outside the city wall, next to the road, suffering greatly at the hands of men. But none of this was an accident, Christians. All of this happened in order to fulfill the Scriptures. Every single detail we see here happened according to the will of God. And we see this, first of all, in Jesus going out of the city. And it wasn't just because there was no other place to crucify him. This was important. Jesus going out of the city pointed back to the Old Testament, specifically the Day of Atonement, the day on which Israel's sins would all be forgiven once a year. And at that Day of Atonement, the animals used in that sacrifice would be carried out of the camp. We're told in Leviticus 16, the bull for the sin offering and the goat for the sin offering, whose blood was brought in to make atonement in the holy place, shall be carried outside the camp. Their bodies were carried out and burned because they were carrying away the sin of God's people. But those animals were only a picture. They pointed towards the greater sacrifice that was to come. They looked forward to what is now happening here in the Gospel of John. Jesus carrying our sins outside the camp, taking away all that we have done wrong and bearing them out into the wilderness. Jesus becomes the one great sacrifice for sins, the sacrifice that, as Hebrews says, never needs to be repeated. Jesus went out of the city so that we would be sprinkled clean according to the Scriptures. And we see also the crucifixion is not an accident, Christians. This too happened to fulfill what the Bible says, because the crucifixion looked back also to the Old Testament, especially in the wilderness, where God had sent a judgment upon the people of Israel because of their sins, sending fiery serpents among them to bite them so that they would die. But after they repented, God gave them a miraculous sign to save them and to deliver them. He says in Numbers chapter 21 to Moses, "Make a fiery serpent and set it on a pole, and everyone who is bitten when he sees it shall live." So that metal snake then, high up on a pole, whenever the people of Israel would simply look at it in faith, would be saved and they would live. And this looked forward to Jesus himself being lifted up for the sins of the world. Jesus himself makes this connection in the Gospel of John. He says in John 3, "As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life." That serpent looked forward to Jesus. And even the cross itself was the fulfillment of the Scriptures, because those who look to Jesus in faith will find life in him. Not physical life, the way that they did in the wilderness, but eternal life with him forever. This was not an accident. And even the two criminals, one on each side of Jesus, was no accident either. This too was a fulfillment of Scripture. Because Isaiah says in chapter 53, "Therefore I will divide him a portion with the many, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul to death and was numbered with the transgressors. Yet he bore the sin of many and makes intercession for the transgressors." Jesus was numbered with them. He was treated as if he was one of them, one who deserved to be on the cross. And yet in that moment, he bore our sins away, making intercession for us to the Father so that we would be forgiven. All of this, Christians, was no mistake. All of it happened in accordance with the Scriptures. And even the other things that we see in this reading, too, are no accident. Even Pilate bickering with the Jews is a fulfillment of the Scriptures. Because Pilate had put an inscription over the head of Jesus, saying, "Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." And he did it so that whoever was going by would be able to see why Jesus had been crucified. And the reason he wanted to do that is because crucifixion was not just for punishment. Crucifixion was also meant to deter people. It was basically to say, this man did this, and if you did do the same, this is also going to happen to you. And Pilate wrote that inscription in three languages: in Aramaic for the sake of the people who were there, in Latin because that was the official language of the empire, and in Greek because that was the language that everybody spoke in those days. He wants to make sure that everybody knows why Jesus is there. But Pilate's also being pretty petty with this, too, because he wants to get back at the Jews who have forced him to do this against his will. And so he wrote this specifically to annoy them. And it worked, because they told him, Well, why don't you change it? Don't say, this man is the king of the Jews, but rather, this man said, I am the king of the Jews. But Pilate, out of spite, refuses. What I have written, he says. There's no changing it now. But even Pilate's pettiness points to the fulfillment of the scriptures. Because Pilate wrote the truth about who Jesus is. Jesus is indeed the King of the Jews. Because God had promised to David long ago that a son from his own body would sit on his throne. And that's exactly what we see happening here. This king would be perfect. This king would be righteous. This king would be faithful. And God continued to point towards the coming of this king all throughout the Old Testament, saying that he would come to be the king that Israel never had. But the prophets also said that this king would suffer on our behalf. Isaiah says in chapter 53, he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his wounds we are healed. And that little sign that Pilate stuck up there out of spite pointed to this truth. The King of the Jews had come, and he had come to bear away our sin and to take away our iniquity, just as the scriptures say. But even the smallest details here, Christians, things that we might not even think about, things that seem so insignificant, are no accident. They also fulfill the scriptures. Because we're told that the soldiers divide up the clothes of Jesus. There's four of them, and apparently they tore up the clothes in order that they would each have a piece. I mean, fabric was valuable enough in those days, and they could certainly use it for something else. But when it came to Jesus' tunic, well, that was a different story. That was worth something. And so they said, let's not tear it apart, but rather cast lots to see whose it will be. They didn't do this out of kindness for Jesus. They did it purely out of greed. They didn't care about Jesus at all, and they certainly didn't know what the scriptures said. And yet, they still fulfilled the scriptures. Because John points us to Psalm 22, which we spoke from this evening, especially these words, they divide my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. Right down to the very letter, dividing the clothes, casting lots for them. Every detail in this passage is no accident. It is a fulfillment of the Word of God. So, Christians, this is what John wants us to see. Everything that Jesus did, everything that happened to him, was supposed to happen, just as the Bible said. And for that reason, we can trust this word, Christians. If God is willing to keep even the smallest details and fulfill them in his Son, he will also keep his promises to you. And we can also see that because Jesus fulfills the scriptures, we can look to him, believe in him, and find eternal life. Because as John says in John 20, these things are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in his name. Let us pray. Lord God, whose promises are yes and amen in Jesus Christ, your Son, comfort us with the truth of your word and lead us to ever look toward Jesus, so that we may believe in your unbreakable word and find eternal life in his name. In his name we pray. Amen.